I have some questions that are perhaps a bit revealing, but again, what's more revealing than your 60th birthday? So I'd like to start off with some easy questions and then get to hard ones. With respect to your work, what are three things that you do that you most love?
To be successful because I've overcome contradictions in a productive manner. If you speak about love, I think in a certain way love always has been part of my work. Not maybe always in the primary sense, but in the sense of respect. And this respect includes those who have not the same opinion than me. And even more, I think the strength to be capable to quarrel, to strive, to maybe even misunderstand and still to communicate is something where you need a very specific ingredient of love to be capable to do so. You need a third one?
Sure.
That was an easy question. Phew.
Oh, they only get worse from here.
Okay. If there's a third thing, I think it's the combination of one and two. Because usually if you've done two things, you start to ask, if you start the third thing, why have done one and two? Because if you have done one, two, and three, you are linear. And if you have done one, two, and three, suddenly you think, hey, maybe you should be disruptive yourself. Let me give you one example. We have here Ernst Feiler. Ernst Feiler, not only I met with him when we were at school, but his company, UFA, originally was called Grundy UFA. And Grundy UFA was one of my tutors in Australia. Now, they had a worldwide strategy of quiz shows. And they were looking for somebody who could do quiz shows not only in Australia, not only in the US, but in Europe. And they said, how? How can we find this person who is capable to do quiz shows in Europe? It's a little like Netflix now looking at all these series. We just heard about that. They started looking at all these series or films or shows or whatever. Now, between 1985 and 1987, I was responsible for something, the Offener Canal, the Burger Canal. And when my folks started making up films and we had more than 2 hours of daily new production per day, all my folks had an extra title at the end. I didn't have nothing. And then I decided to put in the end of my name, PhD, in all the end of the show, I always have a thing going down and it says, Wolfsieger PhD. Now, this was broadcasted by satellite because we're very proud in Ludwigshafen to have a satellite already there. I was broadcasted worldwide as Wolfsieger PhD, and the guys in Australia saw that. Oh, look, there's a PhD. And they hired me. And I became responsible for a long time for starting all the quiz shows in Europe. And I did this with BBC, and I was, actually I'm proud of that, the first adjudicator who was not British in the BBC empire. Now, to come to the point, I was appointed by BBC, I did it for 5 years, and then the French television and German television started to do the same thing. And I said, wow, what a big job, you get good money. And suddenly it was 1.3. If I would have done step three after Australia and England, I would have stayed as the show master, whatever, mastermind, blah, 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 up to the end of my life, maybe even. And I decided to disrupt. So I decided whatever is the number three most valuable thing is to have the capacity to think the other two things you have already been doing, one and two, and to think, are you already in line with yourself? Do you have already built up a career? Do you really want to go on there, or do you have to be disruptive with yourself? Sorry for the long answer, but it's a true one.
Perfect. So, with respect to your current work, what's one thing that you most dislike?
I still dislike that I don't earn the respect which I should have earned in the last 35 years. What I hate the most is the reflection of those things which I haven't achieved. At least I thought I'd never have achieved them. But now the things turn the other way around. because of all that struggle, because of all that striving, because of all this looking for new qualities, because of all lack of money, whatever you want, I have learned to handle disasters. And having made a PhD in philosophy, it's now very helpful to be grateful to the people who haven't understood the conflicts in the digital age. And suddenly, my disadvantage is becoming an advantage. So in the end, I just made the whole phrase to say, in the end, there is nothing which I really hate that much, but thinking back, there are things I really disliked. But now it's like per aspera ad astra. Now suddenly I learned myself that these disadvantages have made me another person by which I now can do things even my friends would never have been capable to do so. So in the end, I'm a happy guy right now.
If your life had taken a different course, what other career might you have had?
I think this question was answered this morning. You heard that my mother had been in a very difficult position during the Nazi regime, and she had to stay in Germany, and her only way to do that was as be as close as possible to the Nazis as a singer and a songwriter and whatever. So they just admired her, and her being admired was the best shield for her being put to the gas chamber. When she met American guy in 39, she didn't dare to leave Germany at that moment. So what your question is saying, what, Wolf, has happened to you if your mother has married this American guy? I would have been, like you, an American citizen.
And what path would you have taken in life had you gone that way?
This is a very easy question. Not just because you are a friend, but it would have been your path.
Looking back, looking back and also looking forward, what single idea pulled you through life? What single thread runs through everything in the life of Wolf Seeger?
You want a pure and simple answer? Birth and death are twins. In giving birth to my child, I saw her at the same moment, and I didn't know if he's going to survive or not for a couple of hours and days. And always this twin was always next to me, this twin person. Now my daughter is 28, so she survived, and I survived. And I survive each day, and each morning when I get up, I know, hey, I still survived. Not only I survived, I enjoy what I do each day. But this twin is next to me each morning, each day, whenever I am. Because, and this is very interesting, when we are in the digital age, we can restart our life by just putting our thumb to a button. And we restart the life of our creatures, which have been prefabricated by any kind of company. But in this life, I'm my own company. And I never can push the start button. And nobody else is going to push the other button. So there is no threat. There is no major enemy. It is just my life, which is always accompanied by not only the good and the bad, but by this, in Germany they have a very nice word for that, it's called dichotomie, by this double-headed figure, which is represented in so many films, in so many stories, and sometimes even in each of us. So be careful. Sometimes you meet this part of me, and sometimes you meet the other one. And you are one of the lucky guys who actually met both of them, and that's why we've become friends.
Excellent. So what was the most memorable concert, and why?
I have so many tunes now in my head when you say that. It's like what we heard this morning. It's like the Quadley Bed. At least I have four concerts in mind, but I won't give you all of them. I just will give two simple examples. When I needed some money at school, I played music at weddings, and I created a group playing all the standard tunes so that we can make money out of that. This was not manual, but was good because it told us that we can make money out of music. And I learned that in my family, that music making is the fundamental part of that. And that's why we have the Bremer Stadtmusikanten here, by the way, who are going to be there as well. because these Bremer Stadtmusikanten, they made music. Why? Because the Bremer Stadtmusikanten were thrown out of house because everybody told them, you're no more accepted here because you're too old, you're too tired, whatsoever. And what they did in the end, they made music. They were protest singers, and they were very remarkable. So, because I can't really answer your question, I think just the four musicians from the Bremer Stadtmusikanten would have the most remarkable concert which I've never heard up to now.
And so my final question. Now looking forward, what's the one desire, what's the one idea that you want to see realized before you pass on?
No, there is no single idea, because we are not single. We are part of a universe. We can choose which part of play we want to play in this universe, but we are not single. There are no single ideas which we want to promote or to push or whatsoever. We are part of somebody else, and we are part of this community, for instance, today, who is just here together. So there is no single idea. There is no single language. There is an individual person. And if you ask the individual person, I have a very simple idea. I still would like to be a professional flyer because I enjoy flying. And it took me a long time to be accepted with myself enjoying that, because my grandfather was the mental constructor and commander of the First World War Flying Air Fleet. He was the one who invented the whole machinery coming down from the sky, not from heaven, coming down from the sky and making disastrous effects to the earth. And because of that, I never dared to fly, because I didn't want to go into this heritage. And suddenly, by pure chance, I found down there in the Méridien, the middle in France of nowhere, just a little weather where I just very light little planes. So I started flying with them. I didn't know about my history. I didn't know about them. So we learned, we became friends. And now I'm flying. So for sure, I still have individual ideas. To give you the answer, is there an idea I really would like to do? I was there to say no, because I've seen so many people who died for an idea, and their idea never succeeded. This is why I don't dare to give you any idea, because I refuse to go to military. And usually, if you have a good idea, you would like to be even dead as long as this idea is going to survive. I didn't take this challenge. So there is no idea which I have in mind, which I think is so important as my life has been, besides the opportunity to create moments like this one. It took me a year and a half to convince myself to do this, what I did today, because usually I stay in the background. And suddenly, you put me on stage, and during my life, very often I dreamt to be a show star. But I was in theater. I learned how this whole theater mechanism works. I was fighting with Fassbinder like hell, because he wanted me to be in his group forever. And we have been fighting for 3 nights. And they were all there, all the people you know. And Fassbinder said, why don't you want to join me? You become the first assistant of my new camera team. I want to do film, and you are the guy who is going to lead me into this new world of film. And I said, no, Rainer, I'm not going to do that with you. He was really fighting to get me into this thing. I was very young at that moment. And then finally he said, Rainer, we have so many friends around here. I only want to say you one. The moment you have discovered the film, your idea of making a film will overcast everything what we had so far. But as long as we do theater, we make as an agreement as a group. And the moment the stage play starts and is repeated, the stage play is repeated each night because we have made an arrangement as a group. And we represent this arrangement on the screenplay each night again and again and again, as long as the public loves us. The moment you got the camera, you are going to squeeze your actors like a lemon. And in the moment you got the juice, you throw them away. I don't know why I told him that one. But it did. And then suddenly there was a total silence. And we all looked at each other. And we just asked for a new beer. And then we were all fine. We quit. And I did new jobs. I went to George Tabori in Berlin, who made his first theater play about gas chambers, which was very tricky in 69. And I became a good friend of George since then. And he stayed on theater, and I did digital work. I don't know if I've answered your questions, but we have been working on these lifetime ideas as long as my life is still going to continue. And you will have your own ideas on that, what I said, hopefully. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you for your great friendship and your candor and what I have experienced as a consistent and unconditional love and acceptance and encouragement. I consider you one of my great friends in life. Thank you.
Give him the applause now.